الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف علیه. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, many Muslims today live in a state of great confusion. Many Muslims today live in a state of great confusion. For an example, you will find many amongst the Ahle Iman lamenting and crying out that what can we do? Who do we follow? Every masjid we go to and every lecture that we listen to, every group, every sect, every denomination of Islam claims to be the people of Haqq. Every group today claims that they have understood the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that they are the true inheritors of Jannah, and they have understood Hadith, and they have understood the Quran, and that their jama'at or their group is the group that is following Haqq, and so all must follow that group. You can travel out of Leicester and go to any masjid, a different environment, a different setting, a different group of people, and sometimes when you look around you, you might feel that, hey, hang on, where am I? Am I in a masjid or am I somewhere else? And so this question as to who do we follow? Every group today says we are Haqq. Every group, every scholar that you listen to, all of them claim that we understand, and this is what you need to do, and this is what you have to do. And it's very easy for the common man to come out of it and say, well, what can we do? We are confused. And this often leads to this paradox of mixed emotions, which ultimately allows the shaitan to push this individual with a deviant sect, because he's confused. Lack of knowledge, lack of confidence, lack of understanding. When you don't have a firm footing in Islam, you're actually quite vulnerable. And that is why you'll see that many fools who have no understanding of Islam will have a massive following. And when you look at the Sheikh, he's a complete fool. And one wonders that, subhanallah, thousands of people are behind this individual. Thousands of people. And this is the reality of dunya. Shaitan never ever misses the opportunity that comes to him. There is a phase in a person's life when he is vulnerable. That is why in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it is mentioned that when a person stops doing the dhikr of Allah, that is the time shaitan makes inroads inside him, takes control of him. And so the art of zikr is not just zikr-e-lisani, but zikr-e-qalbi also. not just with your tongue, but also to make sure that your heart is inclined to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we live in a world that whatever dirt and rubbish that you throw out, there will always be a person to pick it up. The question is, who do we follow? Subhanallah al-Azim. Now in my opinion, I say, my brothers, that any individual who listens attentively to the khilafat of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, insha'Allah ta'ala, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, I'm sure that this individual will be saved and will be absolved from the many fitans that surround him today, even in the modern world. Subhanallah. You will find all the mishmash in the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. And in fact, a lot of the sects that you see today, groups, are just shoots that originally sprouted in the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. It's a long chain or a continuation. Generation after generation, generation after generation, generation after generation, deviant sects and groups that have just continued. These are shoots and subhanallah, their sprouts emerged either during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, or Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, or Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And everything actually ends at the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. That is why the great faqih of his time, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the father in fiqh, majority of the famous teachers of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi are the students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the only faqih who had seen Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala an. And if you look at the Musnad Abu Hanifa, in which you have all the narrations of the hadith recorded there. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, after looking into the life of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, says that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the position of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. He gave the ummah an understanding of which line to adopt in case of dissension in the ummah. In case of dissension in the ummah, what are we to adopt? And it is Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an who took immediate steps that were necessary for him, and alhamdulillah showed the ummah what to do, what is right and what is wrong. And therefore this is very important, my respected brothers. Even though you may feel that this is burdensome, very difficult in the mind to comprehend, it won't digest in the heart and the mind quickly, but to listen attentively and to follow, this will lay down a firm footing as far as your aqaid and your understanding of Islam and the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the love of Sahaba Kiram ajma'in is concerned. Subhanallah. It will give you a deep insight. And whatever you do in life, because the best model in front of us, obviously it's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But again, the tafsir of the actions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have been explained by his great companions. Every sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore extremely important that we understand of all the fitans that emerged during the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if we focus and pay attention to all of the detailed sort of incidents that occurred during the time of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, you will find that insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open your heart. And this is just one zari'ah, a source. Subhanallah, if Allah wants to open the heart of an individual, He can do so without, you know, the need of the Quran or the Hadith. Allah can open the heart of any individual. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. If Allah chooses, then what is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But again, understanding the lives of the companions is so important. You have great, great scholars. Every muhaddith, majority of the muhaddith, all of the fuqaha, and all of the mufassireen, If they have written books on tafsir, hadith, you will find them, a lot of them have also written about the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya is just one example that is in front of us. That covers the whole history. Subhanallah. And so Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in were great individuals. And so we need to listen to everything very attentively, inshaAllah ta'ala, to dispel the wasawis of shaitan that could be inside us. And so we have a firm footing in Sharia. So for 15-20 minutes people come, but subhanAllah, the reward is immense, inshaAllah ta'ala. If we look into the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, of course, we've covered a lot from his life. For example, the main battles, the battle of the camel and Jung-e Siffin, the battle of Siffin. But two groups in particular that we covered are the Khawariji sect, the Khawariji sect, and the Saba'i sect. The Khawariji sect were a group of people that can be described as very narrow-minded people. Very narrow-minded people. And I say that one is to have knowledge and one is to have maturity in your knowledge. One is to have knowledge and one is to have fiqah in knowledge. Fiqah is different. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْكَهُونَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْكَهُونَ. Allah did not say لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Oh, did they have knowledge? Would they have knowledge? No. One is knowledge and one is maturity in your knowledge. But Allah gives you wisdom, which is fiqah. Extremely important. And so these were people who were narrow-minded individuals. And they took instinctively all the rules of Sharia to be literal. Whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, it was literal for them. Huh? Subhanallah. And this very Puritan behavior made them very extreme. Very extreme. Extreme in their virtue and extreme in their vice. Virtue, if you were to throw a khajur or if there was a date on the floor, discarded. They would not even pick up that date to eat without the permission of the owner. That was the level of taqwa. Even if that date was discarded, they wouldn't pick it up, but would seek permission first and then eat it. And as far as their vice is concerned, conveniently would kill any Muslim if it was against their belief. They would be prepared to kill anyone. And this was their condition. And majority of them had conscripted to the army of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and were from the tribe of Banu Tamim. These are the Khawariji sect. From the tribe of, majority of them were from the Banu Tamim. And the revolt actually came when, after the battle of Siffin, the first battle was Jung-e Jamal. And then after Jung-e Jamal, the battle of Camel was the second battle, which was the battle of Siffin. In the battle of Siffin, of course, things were difficult. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala decided that immediately there should be a ceasefire between both the parties, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and also the Syrians. And so what he did is that he lifted up the Mus'haf to the blade of the spear, showing it to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to the mujahideen that were there, that stop fighting, and we need to meet up with Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And this was, alhamdulillah, explained. And it was decided that one individual from each group would act as an arbitrator, and they would resolve this matter. And so the arbitration plan was enforced. Now what had happened is, the minute Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an accepted this, and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, you had the Banu Tamim tribe, majority of them, who revolted against Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and they said that we are coming out from your group because you have gone against our fundamental belief, which is la hukma illa lillah, la hukma illa lillah,
that you can't have a human tribunal, you can't have individuals making a decision on important matters when the Quran is there to decide for you. And so the Amir himself should say, this is what is mentioned in the Quran, and therefore this is what we have to do. But for two individuals to act as arbitrators, this is against the Sharia and the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, they took everything in a very literal sense. And so they defected. And they said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, we are not to be with you. And so you had this group that emerged after the battle of Siffin, a very strong group of individuals, very powerful individuals. And there was always difficulty with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an when he would face the Khawariji sect. And that is why, to ease the tension, he said, let Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an go and speak to them, which we also covered. And a few thousand embraced Islam and they came back, but many of them would not listen to him also. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he had no choice but to fight them in the famous battle of the Battle of Nahrawan. And many of them were slain at the hands of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and this only increased their grudge, animosity and hatred for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So the people of Khawarij were people who not only hated Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and the companions, but at the same time they also hated Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, who was in Syria. Now just to give you a brief history, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah's position in Syria was very strong, because the family had a lot of influence there. His grandfather, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah's grandfather, was actually living in that part of the region. And that is why you might recall that when Hiraqal wanted to ask about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Sufyan was selected, because at that time Syria was in the hands of the Byzantine Empire. And so Abu Sufyan was selected, because the grandfather and the father and this entire family, all of them were very much inclined into that territory and understood that territory. The father had a lot of business in Syria. So he was part of Syria, and the Syrians also loved Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, which is again very, very important. When we look at the Khilafah, it is so important that the leader has to be someone who the public should also love. But then of course you'll find individuals who don't have that understanding, or when fitna comes, it is decreed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for certain reasons, and you'll find a lot of events and incidents that occur. But certainly when a Muslim has passed away, and you know for sure that he is a Muslim, then his body should never be disrespected. Whatever a person does, that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, what is the difference between good and bad? Subhanallah. Of course, we have the laws of qisas. But when a person has passed away, when the ruh is out from the body, subhanallah, it is a different case. Subhanallah. And so we have to be very careful that as individuals, the differences between us is something that we can understand and we can relate to. But allowing other individuals or other groups or other settings to take advantage becomes very critical and very difficult. And this was the difficulty with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately what happens is the shahadat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, and you had this wufood of reverts, people who were new to Islam, vulnerable individuals. And that is why a lot of them were influenced, those who were new Muslims, as in non-Arab Bedouins, and they embraced Islam, they were influenced by the Khawariji movement and that sect. So it was going to be extremely difficult for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, but Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was an incredible individual. Subhanallah. The talent, the knowledge that Allah gave him, And the ulama have mentioned that whatever Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an did, he was right in his decision, in whatever he did. Subhanallah. So he was a great khalifa of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have on one side the Khawariji group of people. Now you need to look at and understand this movement, Khawariji individuals, very extreme individuals that emerged after the battle of Siffin. And remember not to forget the first group. The first group was, mashallah, gone. The Sabai sect. Now the Sabai sect was there well before the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, Abdullah ibn Sabah, a Jewish man, born to a Jewish lady, and what he did is that he wanted to deceive the people, the Muslims, and he started acting to be a very pious individual, pretending to be a pious individual, giving a lot of money to the reverts and those who were the Bedouins in need, and slowly he won the hearts of people. But this man came with a lot of Jewish doctrines with him, and so he was not prepared to accept Islam with sincerity. So when he came, this man was also a learned individual. He was a scholar of comparative religion, so he understood about Christianity, possibly about Hinduism at that time, and also about his own faith, which was Judaism. So Abdullah ibn Sabah, when he came, what he wanted is that he wanted to put a stop to Islam spreading outside of the Arabian Peninsula. So this man comes, and part of his belief is that a savior will be born from the line of David, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. So a savior will be born from the line of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. And he also knew that in Hinduism, one of their core belief is that God can reincarnate, or God reincarnates in a human form. God reincarnates in a human form. That's why in Hinduism what happens, they believe that the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. And the soul never dies. Isko kya nahi milti hai? Mukti. Mukti nahi milti. Mukti. That's what they use. And for it to have this freedom, what happens is that you have to be upright. Only then that soul becomes a Brahman, whatever. And the truth is that this soul just continues. So if you've been good, you might go to a higher level. This soul will be transferred to a higher level. But the soul can go into a plant, a tree, or animals for that matter, whatever. So it is just something that continues. Al-Iyazubillah, Al-Iyazubillah, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned, Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. When death comes to the body, and death also comes to the soul. And what is meant by death coming to the soul, as in when the soul is taken out of the body, that means that death has also come to the ruh. So we need to understand that قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It is not something that is allowed for it to just roam around in laughter, and you might just see something flying, and you might say that this is the ruh of my great-grandfather coming here to see me, and this is incorrect. Subhanallah, whatever Allah wills happens, but generally we've got to understand whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And also in Christianity he understood that Jesus would return back. Jesus would return back. So this man took advantage of all the confused and the assortments of different religious doctrines that were settled in his mind. And so he came up. What he did is that he wanted to take advantage of what happens to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And he started saying that the only Khalifa should have been Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So he came up with this weird, startling, confusing doctrines that he started preaching amongst the people of Kufa first. And so he started saying that Hazrat Ali is the Khalifa. That is fine. He did not accept Hazrat Ali to be the fourth Khalifa, but he is the successor to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam after his demise. And therefore Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman are all guilty, al-iyazu billah, of this major sin, al-iyazu billah, for snatching away and usurping khilafat. And therefore whatever happened to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, al-iyazu billah, he deserves that. This was the aqeedah. And so initially, the people who actually assassinated Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an were the Sabai people. And the people who will assassinate Hazrat Ali radiallahu, well, we won't go into that, will be a different group. But you have to understand the two groups. And so when they came, this man started saying that Ali is now not a Khalifa, but he started equating Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an with the prophets. That he is also a prophet. And slowly thereafter, preaching to the people and saying that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an has got a share with God Almighty, like how the Christians say that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has a share in divinity, aliyazu billah. And therefore you'll find that a lot of the Sabai sects, a lot of the people actually believe this. In fact, Abdullah ibn Sabah, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was informed that there are certain individuals who are saying that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is a Nabi, and some have said that he holds this share with God Almighty, he got so angry that he was about to burn this particular group. He was to burn them alive as a punishment. But then he decided to banish them in the region of Madain, in the region of Madain, far away towards Iran, in the region of Madain. And what had happened is that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was martyred, when he became a shaheed, and when people told Abdullah ibn Sabah that he has passed away, he said that Ali can never die. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an can never die. Remember, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani adopted the same strategy. What did he do? He adopted the same strategy. First he called himself a very pious man, just a Khalifa. And then he said, no, not just a Khalifa. That's why you have the difference between the Lahori Qadianis and the Qadianis themselves. So first they say that he's just a very pious individual, a Khalifa. And then after the Khalifa, they boosted him. Well, he boosted himself to be a Nabi. To be a Nabi. And Allah knows what happens next. But this is what he did. The same strategy adopted. That's why Hazrat Imam Azam said that Allah give jazai khair to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who actually educated the ummah what to do, even if there is dissension that comes from those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And to understand the core aqaid and beliefs of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. And so what had happened? When Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and passed away, Abdullah ibn Sabah stood up and he said, there is a cloud in the heavens that is concealing and hiding Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he was of the opinion that you see this crushing sound of thunder that you hear, that is Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and speaking from the clouds. And so a lot of the Shia and the Sabai sect are supposed to say, Wa alaykum salamu amirul mu'minin. What are they to say? Wa alaykum salamu amirul mu'minin. And they said, like how Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam is taken, exactly in the same manner Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an has been uplifted and he will come as a savior. Death cannot come to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, he went as far as saying, even if you were to cut out the brain of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and show it to me, I will not accept that this is Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And so this is the Sabai sect. Now, you see here, my respected brothers, two groups diametrically opposed to one another. Look at the Khawariji group and their aqeedah about Hazrat Ali. And look at the Sabai sect and the aqeedah of Hazrat Ali. And that is why Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Ali, and Hazrat Ali himself is the narrator. He says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam called me and he said to me, Ali, come here. And he said to me that your personality is akin to Isa alayhi salatu was salam, the son of Maryam alayhi salam. Your personality is akin to Isa alayhi salam, who is the son of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained. And he said, the Jewish people during the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam were eager to assassinate and murder Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam. And they hated him. They hated Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Remember, they took him to be the false Messiah. And they put, aliyazu billah, this calumny and this charge against Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, that she is an unchaste lady, aliyazu billah, and that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam was born illegitimately, aliyazu billah. And so they hated Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And then you had another group of people who were the Christians, who had blind love for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in comparison, this is what will happen to you, that the Khariji group of people will, what will they do? They will hate you, and they will want to get rid of you. And then you will have another group of people who are the Sabai sect, again deviated from the right path, who will want to elevate you. And when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an heard of this, he said that, lo, on the day of Qiyamah, both of these groups will be doomed. Both of these groups will be doomed. Why? For one, to give me that position which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given me. And for others to malign me and to go against me, and they will also be punished. And referring to the Khawariji sect. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and made an announcement to the people very clearly that al-iyazu billah, I am not a Nabi, like how the Sabai people say, and that I am the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, anyone who will transgress and speak about a Khalifa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a manner that does not befit him, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be thrown into Jahannam. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually spoke about the Khawarij and also the Sabai sect, and gave it with an example that it is the liking of the Jews and also the Christians who have deviated from the right path. And so the people of Sirat-e-Mustaqim are those who brand themselves as to be Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. Insha'Allah ta'ala, in the next few sessions, we will try to cover the different groups that are there, and also of course the Shahadat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But it is very, very important, my brothers, that we understand all of these different sects and groups, why even today they are actually connected to the same roots from the time of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka at-tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.